Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Oh, wow.
Simply the best. Better than Robert.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Where else would you be? Standing here, sitting here next to Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler.
Could be at a long lunch in the sun or something by the water, but...
Is that where you would prefer to be than right here?
No, we could be doing that together. We should do the show from the restaurant you were at yesterday.
Sea level.
Yeah. Can you arrange it?
Why don't we put it down?
Can we please do that? That's a good idea.
So sea level is in what part of the world?
Out in the Shire, mate. Right on the water. Right on the water.
You enjoy being a Shire boy?
We've sort of enjoyed everywhere. We've lived in a lot of places, Tane.
You're nomadic, really, aren't you?
Very nomadic.
It's going to be a viaduct boy soon.
We always make the most of where we are, but one day... I'd like to be maybe up around, Byron or Kingscliff or Casuarina or somewhere up there getting that nice winter weather.
Start
nice
saving
warm
up.
Water.
Make sure you get a nice guest house too over there in Auckland because I think you're going to get some visitors.
I've already had about 100 people text me, let me know they're
coming.
Make
it 101.
So. Were you mid-North Coast?
Yeah, North Coast, yeah. Yamba, McLean, Grafton.
Yamba's beautiful. Wooga. Oh, Grafton, obviously, is a terrific place.
Yeah, I was born
in Grafton.
Did you play
with the Grafton Ghosts?
No, Lower Clarence Magpies.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Who was your junior team?
I had a couple. When I was in the Shire, I played for the Gymie Gorillas. And then when I moved to Wollongong, I played for the Collegians.
When were you in the Shire?
Collies. Until I was 12. Yeah, I lived in the Shire with my parents. The old man used to work at the airport for Ansett back in the day. And then he bought a news agency when I was 11 or 12 and we moved to the Gong. And that was that. But I played for the Gorillas for 5 or 6 years.
Gymie Gorillas is a really good name.
Tony doesn't know where those places are because he doesn't leave the eastern suburbs.
That's are you one not of them strictly ones, true.
No, I'm not one of those.
You're in your own bubble.
I'm in my own bubble. Clearly, I've never crossed
Unless
Anzac
he gets chopped into the Southern Highlands.
Yes, there is a bit of Southern Highlands.
And then there is a Western Wing.
The Roosters over the Broncos, 58 points to 12. We're going to get to the bottom of the Broncos in just a minute. And I think Coach's Corner is also going to feature Broncos with Nathan Brown. The Rabbitohs smashed the Eels 38-0. We've already caught up with Damien Cook. Tyron Peachy is going to join us very shortly as well after the Titans 14-10 winners over very disappointing St. George Illawarra Dragons. Peter Sterling comes in at 2 o'clock. That's all ahead of it. But now just to lighten up, why don't we have a bit of this?
Ladies and gentlemen,
three in five.
Oh, I love Tony Sessions. Yeah. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 and 5.
Yes, it's not a traditional 3 and 5, to be
honest. It hasn't been for the last month,
Sometimes,
Tony.
No,
I've been run out of ideas for 3 and 5. Can we just call this Tony's Quiz?
Yeah, okay. So we had to change the whole opener and everything.
Well, let's
That's
do that.
Give somebody something to do during the week,
exactly right.
Okay, we don't draw on the resources at all in this show.
Do we?
Okay.
Oh, no, Emma got... She's got a new segment, hasn't she?
No, that was dropped.
We only had it last week.
Didn't that work?
MCL.
Is
I've
that
got a
out
few
this
more
week?
This week,
yeah. Really? Oh, it's been dropped after 1 week.
Producer Charlie, did somebody come and talk to you and say that's got to go, that segment?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. I mean, it felt like it wasn't working when we were doing it.
I'm not sure we gave it a long enough go.
Really?
I think we've Anthony Seabolded almost, just got it in for a week and then got rid of it straight away.
Yeah, we should have given it a 5-week deal.
I think so.
All right, here we go then. They're playing in Tamworth this afternoon, the Warriors taking on the Knights. So it's kind of a country and western feel to the quiz. You're going to have to use your names as your buzzers. If you wouldn't mind testing those for me, because last week I know Brownie, yours didn't work till halfway through the quiz and you're on fire.
And then I got the cash.
Yeah, you did. Okay, who test your buzzers for me, Gert? You always make it difficult. Yes, Em?
Emma.
Good.
Brownie.
Beautiful.
That's just me clearing my throat, Tony.
Ready to go. What ground in Tamworth is today's
Emma.
Game?
Oh, wow. Scully Park.
No.
I got that.
No, you did not. Nathan?
Nathan, it was Emma. Scully Park is correct.
He would have got done for sexism if he didn't. He had to go that way.
Well done, Nathan. The Australian Country Music Awards.
Brownie.
Yes.
Tamworth.
Oh, well, that's an incorrect answer. Take a point off him, please, if you'd let the question run through. Actually, Brownie, you buzzed in as well. Do you have an answer?
No, he had a go. So
okay, the Australian Country Music Awards in Tamworth are known as what?
Oh, the Golden Guitars.
Excuse me, you're out. You
buzzed in earlier.
And you got incorrect.
I was helping you finish the question, and then I answered the question.
Emma.
Because you said Tamworth, and then I said the Golden Guitar. One point for me, Nathan.
No.
Yeah, you got benched when you got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just to point out, once you've incorrectly answered a question, you can't then jump in on the same question. There's not a new rule. It's been going for quizzes for thousands of years. All right. Please be careful when answering this question. In Kenny Chesney's hit country song.
Who? Sorry?
Kenny Chesney's hit country song.
I don't even know who that is.
Who's Kenny Chesney? This is Triple M, Tony.
Fill in the missing
this
word.
Is rock and sport.
Fill in the missing word from the title. She thinks my blank is sexy.
Brownie.
Bum? Bum?
Emma.
Yes, Emma. Have a go.
Gut. I knew it wasn't that. I just.
Knees.
It's a country song. She thinks my tractor is sexy is the correct answer. True or false? Peter Allen's hit Tamworth Sadler is an autobiographical song. Yes, Emma?
True.
No, false, because it's actually called Tenderfield Sadler. Mm. Close to Tamworth, though. Mm. Which NRL team...
That was you, Brownie.
Yes, Brownie. Good luck with this.
Warriors?
Emma.
You're going to answer without hearing the question as well. Yes,
Penrith.
Emma? Sorry?
Penrith.
Well, do you want to hear the question? All the clues are yours.
I like the question.
Which NRL team does country music star Troy Cassidaly support?
Oh, he's a Broncos supporter.
He's not. He's a South Sydney supporter.
Oh, God.
And finally, name an NRL player
from
Tamworth.
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
I know. Is Kate Ellis from around there?
No. Yes, Brownie.
Parsons.
Yes, indeed. Matt Parsons will do. Alan Tung would have done. Tom Leroy, Lars, Phil Graham, David Brooks.
They are
all there.
No, he's from Bega.
I got the cash
Brownie,
again.
You've
won.
Got the cash again. You have won the quiz. This is the Saturday Scrum. Stick around. Doing it for King G. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. We are going to get to Coach's Corner very shortly with Nathan Brown. Before we do, though, we are the Broncos. Another, terrible performance from that team. But as Brownie said, there's a lot of cattle who aren't there for them. But certainly Anthony Seibold is no longer there. He has gone. It was a pretty badly kept secret that it was going to happen. It did during the week. He went. The question now is, who is going to come in? Peter Gentle is the interim coach. I think he's the fifth interim coach for the year in the Dally M Interim Coach of the Year Awards. He's won the fifth
who's the front runner?
Who's leading? Tony Payton?
Toddy Payton has to be the leading. He'd have to win the interim coach of the year.
Not putting any pressure on the coaches coming in next year, is he?
No, not at all. All right, who is the man for the job? Who is the man for the job? Is it Kevvy Walters? Do they need at the Broncos somebody who seemingly culturally will bring people together, the old Broncos legends who have been a little bit fractious with what's been going on? Fans, long-term fans, he's been a loved member of the family there for such a long time. Is that what the Broncos need to get them moving down the path? Is it Paul Green who has put his hand up, won a premiership with the Cowboys? Where are you going, Emma?
I would like to see Kevvy get the job. Obviously, there are benefits to, but it seems like the grand final at the moment is between Kevvy and Paul Green. Obviously, in Paul Green, you've got a premiership winner. Obviously, with Kevvy, you've got that whole cultural element. He's, you know, Broncos legend, and I don't think there's a club in the game where the old boys seem to have so much say and come out publicly with their opinions. And we know that Kev is very well respected. Going back as well, there was an arrangement, some kind of handshake deal where Kevvy was supposed to get that job originally.
The Kirribilli agreement.
So I think, look, I would love to see, because of that as well, I'd love to see Kevvy get the job, whether or not they go that direction.
Okay.
Who knows? I'm going to say Kevvy for the fact that he's loved by the Broncos, and I think they owe it to him after what transpired when Wayne left.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, look, part of me, obviously the heart thinks that Kevvy'd be a great guy for the role and it would tick all the boxes that MJ spoke about. I'm not sure whether you want to get someone into that position that has limited experience, to be honest. I know he's been, you know, with the Melbourne Storm and he's done a job at Origin, but... it's a lot of moving parts to the Broncos at the moment as an organisation, and you need to be across all of those. I'd be more inclined personally, and I don't think you need to always try and appease. You know, I mean, I'm obviously an old boy of the Panthers, and I was very vocal last year when they weren't doing so well. And I think that that comes out because you're very passionate about the club, and you want to see them do well. So what keeps you quiet is when all of a sudden they're doing well, regardless of who's at coach. You know, you might have said what you've said, but all of a sudden you see success and you're happy regardless of who comes in. So I think their priority should be not so much worrying about appeasing everyone, but bringing in someone that can get the Broncos in the winning circle on a weekly basis. And I think someone with experience that knows the game, that's got a pretty thick skin to ride the bumps up there, is a guy like Shane Flanagan. So, you know, I would be inclined to maybe, you know, get him up there as an assistant coach for next year, get him into the system, let Peter General maybe do the job for another 12 months, and then hand the reins to Flano in 2021. I think he'd be a guy that would get results up there.
See, the same role that's going on at the Dragons at the moment.
It's got nothing to do with the Dragons.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just interested because it's the Dragons.
Well, because the Dragons are obviously looking for a head coach at the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they're thinking of doing something similar, but I'm just talking about the Broncos job.
There's reports to Flano will end up back at the Shire eventually.
Well, I think John Morris is doing a pretty good job at the moment as well.
Browning?
Yeah, it's a real difficult one because obviously they're the biggest brand as far as the, I suppose, rugby league club goes. The two best rugby league clubs in this country the past 20 years have been the Roosters and Melbourne by poles apart, isn't it, to the rest. And there's been some good performance in and around it. But, you know, the Broncos should be, with what they have access to player-wise, finance-wise, they should be alongside those two clubs. They haven't been for a fair few years now. It's been a long, long time where they've been consistently dominant, like in the 90s and early 2000s like they were. So the decision they do make next, they need to definitely get it right because they've become a club who just keeps sacking coaches all the time, haven't they? Let's be honest. Mm. So there's been four or five over the journey now in the past sort of 10 years. And, you know, could they have stuck with Anthony Griffin rather than sack Anthony Griffin? Or could they have stuck with Wayne? Or could they have whatever, you know? But keeping on changing the coach is certainly the wrong thing to do. They need to find that what they think's the right coach. And
isn't that the risk, though, with going with someone that, you know, like Kevy, even though he's so well-loved by the club but still has limited experience at an NRL level?
Well, he has got a lot of experience, coaching experience, though. There's a big difference. So he's not like he's a rookie coach that's been an assistant coach for 4 or 5 years. Kevy's been an assistant coach now for a long, long time, and he's done a lot of travelling, and we've been in a lot of different organisations. And one of the keys to it is what's Kevy's best skill sets and what he's not good at. That's who you go and recruit. You don't go and recruit a coach who's your mate. You go and recruit someone who helps make your weaknesses, obviously, strengths. That's the key to it. It's not, you don't go hire blokes just because you like them. Yeah? So I think, you know, Kevy could certainly put the right team around him to be very successful because whether we like it or not, all the outside noise from the old boys has become a problem up there and they need to turn that around, you know, and that will happen with Kevy. And I think, you know, from my understanding is that Kevy was told he was going to have the job 2 years ago. So if that's the case, I think he's earned the right for a shot at it. And if they did go for someone like Paul Green, he's a terrific coach. And I think I said the other day, if Paul Green doesn't coach the Broncos next year, he'll be coaching somewhere in 12 months.
Do you think, just back with Anthony Seibold, with that disappearance from him leaving, it was vicious? Is there other clubs where it gets that vicious? I mean, at the end of the day, he was guilty of losing games of football. That's all.
Yeah, well, sometimes, I suppose, behind the scenes, it's the noise is noisy, as in publicly noisy. But there is people at, you know, a lot of sporting clubs, whether it be rugby league or AFL, that have quite a lot of influence. And, like, they might look someone in the eye, but while they're looking them in the eye, they hit him in the back as well with a big knife, you know. So the Broncos people have been, the old boys have been quite vocal about it, haven't they? You know, and when someone like Chris Johns comes out and he starts saying stuff, because, you know, if you do your homework on the Broncos, Chris Johns is probably the bloke that keeps all the old boys together and makes it work. And he very, very rarely comes out and says anything negative. But when Chris Johns comes out, there's obviously something going wrong because he's not one of these. There's an element of old boys at every single club that as soon as something goes wrong, the media ring up because they know they're going to get a quote. But Chris Johns is not one of those ones. So the fact he said something, there's obviously a big disconnection between the old boys.
When do they make that appointment, though, Tony, now that obviously Seibold's gone?
Yep.
There's an interview process that needs to take place. You've got Paul White, who's an outgoing CEO. Do they make that decision? I mean, obviously there's applications going in now for that new role. Do they make a decision on the new CEO? Do they let the chairman of the board make that decision?
That is the confusing thing, isn't it? It's difficult. Gets the call.
And then who's accountable for that? And obviously they would have learned a lesson in relation to, you know, and we spoke about it and we'll probably touch on it again with Justin Holbrook in a minute and his extension, you know, performance-based clauses. And we can talk to Brownie about when you're negotiating from a coach's perspective, you know, how reasonable do they need to be? How achievable do they need to be? And where do the Broncos set their benchmarks? What's a successful season for the Broncos, and what sort of pressure is that coach going to be under immediately to turn that club around?
All right, well, those things may well come through as well. And Brownie's got his coach's corner.
You look at, like, when someone takes over, like, yeah, I know Wayne had left Brisbane but gone back there, but at the end of the day, Wayne had been at Brisbane for 27, 28 years as a head coach, is roughly that, and won 6 grand finals and lost one, so 7 grand finals. And if you look at sporting clubs in the world where they've had, like, a godfather, whatever you want to call them, that have lasted so long. You know, you go to
Alex Ferguson. Yeah.
So the next blokes that took over Alex Ferguson were David Moyes, who was considered a terrific coach.
Fall guy. He was great through the young guys coming through at Everton. And
lasted 6 months.
Yeah.
Then they brought in Louis van Gaal, one of the greatest soccer coaches. Lasted 18 months. Then they brought in Jose Mourinho, one of the greatest soccer coaches. So actually replacing someone like Wayne, the first poor bloke that comes in, you got players who compare him to the bloke who won 7 comps or 6 comps. It's a very, very difficult task. Doesn't matter how good that person is. And then you got people, obviously, in and around the area who think, well, this bloke's not going to be Wayne Bennett, because it's very hard to be better than a 7 premiership winning coach, isn't it? Sometimes the first bloke that comes in, it becomes a task that can be far, far too hard. I think the next person is going to have the best job because of where they're at the moment, which we'll talk about later.
Yes, that's Coach's Corner, and that is coming up next right here on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Warriors Newcastle kick off 3 o'clock. Sturlo joins us in just over half an hour. We're also going to catch up with Tyrone Peachy. And right now, though, it is time for this.
The Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
So, Browning, we're in the middle of the discussion about the Broncos, who should go in there, who should be the coach. We've thrown some names around. But you have the thought that whoever does get their job is walking into a terrific job.
Yeah, I believe so. For a number of reasons. I just mentioned about, you know, having someone take over from Wayne, who'd been at the club for a long, long time. And, you know, history will tell you at other sporting clubs, when a person's been able to stay in a role for 20-odd years at one sporting organisation and win rings or titles or trophies or whatever you like to call it, they become very difficult to replace. And generally the first one that replaces them gets the shortest end of the stick. So, you know, Siebes obviously went there, I would have thought, expecting to win a comp, because it was a, you know, Wayne wanted to stay there. I think most coaches would have said that was a good opportunity. But now that's happened, what's gone on, and with where their roster's at, a lot of people are critical of their roster and they're saying they're a long, long way away. I'd beg to argue that a lot of people are probably getting lost in the situation of how the Broncos are playing at the moment, as opposed to where their roster may be at. And, you know, we spoke before about, if you put Payne Haas on the market, if you put Matt Lodge on the market, if you put Thomas Flegler, Patrick Carrigan, Xavier Coates, the young centre, if you put all these people on the market, Tessie knew, there's so many clubs that would want to take those players. And I'm talking high-end clubs would take them, not clubs that are running down the bottom of the table. So I think with, you know, they've obviously got some money available because they missed Fifita, which must be roughly 800 grand. The right coach with the right experience and knowledge of the club gets the job. If he lets a Tevita go for whatever, or if Tevita's sacked there, he's got $1.5 million to spend. You've still got Jack Bird, who's an outstanding player, come back from injury, a premiership winner, you know, origin player. You know, I just think the right coach gets that job and maybe lets one or two players go.
I think Darius moves on at the end of the year as well.
And brings in the right players, the right two or three experienced players. I think that roster, a lot of people will be saying different things about it next year.
But Goods, you've mentioned that it's not just the roster at the moment you were concerned about. what's going on in the office, I suppose.
Well, I think there's more people accountable for the position the club have been in for the last 10 years and the coach and the people that brought the coach in and the fact that, you know, they've now had to pay him out and what that's cost the business, essentially. I mean, it hasn't been, I don't think it's been well managed from any situation. I think all that's really obvious, Tone. The thing is now for the Broncos is they need to get the right coach. They need someone that can come in there and build. You know, because Brownie's 100% right. It's not a diabolical roster at all. They've got some brilliant young kids. I don't think there's too many better young players than that Carrigan going around in the game at the moment to play in the middle, usually 80 minutes behind a beaten pack on a weekly basis and produce the sort of form that he is at the moment. He's a captain. He's a leader. And I think, you know, he's surrounded by talent there. So just cherry-picking the right people, Brownie, to put in.
They've also got some of their biggest wage earners coming off contract in 12 months, you know. So Jack Bird's off in 12 months. Milford's off in 12 months. They're big wage earners, you know. So, you know, Jack's just been injured and he hasn't had the opportunity to play well for the Broncos. I'm sure if he's fit and plays, he'd play well. And Anthony Milford coming off contract next year, I'm pretty confident we'll see Anthony Milford get somewhere near back to the player we know he can be.
If you were to add in a few experienced heads, who would you be going after?
Because I haven't actually, I've got another job I'm sort of looking at. I haven't really looked at it, but if you really look deep, you know, you are the Brisbane Broncos. It certainly shouldn't be difficult to attract players. You know, like there's some clubs that can attract high profile players. We've seen over the last 20, 25 years, you know, the Roosters, the Broncos, they're probably the two clubs, mainly in the 80s when Bozo was there. There's clubs that go through times where they don't have a problem attracting high profile experienced players, where other clubs do have a problem with it. You know, the Broncos shouldn't have that problem. So, you know, the amount of money they got and who's potentially available.
It's just who comes on the market. That's exactly right. Because at the moment, when you look at the positions that they really need to fill is depending on whether they consider Did and their halfback moving forward. I think he's shown enough that, you know, he's going to do some good things, especially when he gets, on the back of a team with a little bit of momentum and can create some opportunity. I think he's doing good behind a beaten pack on a weekly basis. There's probably a 6 and a 9 young Turpins there, but there's not a lot of cover for him. And then obviously the big decision they need to make is that they need to bring someone at fullback, whether it's Tessie New and how long is he going to take to develop. But those key positions for the Broncos, you can have all the power and strike in the back row and the centres and whatever with Katoni. But if you haven't got, you know, key decision makers on a weekly basis getting you where you need to go, you're not competing.
Yeah, and I think the coach that does get it, whether it's Greeny or whether it's Kevy, that sounds like it's a race in two. That's what it sounds like. I think whichever one gets it will be feeling like they've got a very, very good job and they could be there for a fair period of time. That's what I feel.
In terms of, is it similar to the Penrith situation where, you know, they've got an inexperienced spine and you just put in someone like Appy, a bit more experience, and what a difference it, you just need even just one of them with a bit more experience.
100%. Yeah. If they could find one person with more experience. Because young Turpin looks a good player, doesn't he? But unfortunately, he's been injured. He hasn't got to play much this year, you know. But if they could find someone with experience in the halves or fullback, you know, someone to offer him something. But and also some one or two good experience forwards, just more so than just to help on the field. But what you do off the field and how you prepare properly and how you train properly and what's acceptable and not acceptable behaviour, you know, like, you know, Tavita's already sort of come out and said he's got a couple of things wrong. You know, what experienced player there's guiding Tavita? And who's Tavita look up to at the moment at the Broncos? A kid that's 20, 21?
Yep.
You know, so like one or two players like that would help those younger kids a lot. And they are high in talent, some of these young kids. You know, Staggs and Coates and Flegler and Carrigan. These kids are the best player of their age group, you know. So you don't do that by fluke.
Penrith, again, similar. Got Zane Tedovano, who then, you know, adding him in from the Roosters system.
100%.
Just those tiny changes and look what a difference it
100%.
Made for them. Yeah.
It was good preparation.
Roosters coach Trent Robinson, he waded into this whole idea of the high turnover of coaches at the moment. Just reading a quote from him saying, I think the clubs need to take responsibility. They don't know how to develop coaches for the most part. All they do is hire a coach. If they don't do well, they get rid of them quite quickly. So the development of coaches from within a club needs to improve. Whose responsibility is it to develop a coach? That's just the club overall.
Well, I think some of what Robbo's saying is Anthony Seibold, who's obviously the person everyone's talking about at the moment, goes to Brisbane, which everyone thinks is a job over the next couple of years, they're going to win a grand final. Seibs has had 1 year as a head coach at the Rabbitohs with a very, very experienced roster, and then goes to a club that's got all these really, really young players and some older ones. So who did the Bronx put around Anthony Seibold to help take away for his lack of experience, I suppose, of taking over arguably Australia's biggest sporting club? So how did the Bronx help Anthony Seibold succeed, as opposed to how did they help Anthony Seibold
not succeed? Are you talking about as in a football manager? Because as a coach, don't you take your own people? So do you think that the club then, similar, you know, I guess, to as a football manager role, do you think the Broncos erred in not putting someone as a football manager or head of football over the top of Seibs?
No, not over him, but like if you look at the Dragons at the moment, we'll talk about the Dragons, they're looking for a coach and Dean Young's put his hand up. Now, if, say, Dean Young gets that job, I will guarantee you they will tell Dean you need to bring someone who's got good, hardened experience with you. That would be just some nice bit of advice. That would have been some great advice for Seibs, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Who's a Neil Henry, outstanding coach, yep, been at three or four clubs. He could have went and worked with Seibs. Any number of people.
Yep. Because do you as a head coach feel the responsibility of educating and mentoring assistant coaches? Do you see that as your role, or is their role just helping you to get results on a weekly basis?
It's no coincidence if you look at, you know, Brian Smith over the course of the journey, Craig Bellamy, you know, Warren Ryan in his day, all these people educated their football
team. Tim Sheens,
but there's not a coach that's going around at the moment that doesn't come from Brian Smith, Sheensy, Warren Ryan, from that sort of field, because those blokes helped educate people. You know, mm-hmm. Bellyache had a long time with Sheensy, Robbo had a long time with Smithy. Obviously, I got coached by Smithy and Wadey. Wadey's from Warren Ryan. You know, so everyone's interconnected in some way from three or four people who had, you know, 25, 30 years of coaching, but not only coaching the team, but helping educate players.
What about everything that goes on outside of just coaching? Because it's so much more than just coaching now. It's dealing with the media, dealing with the sponsors. Do you think there's enough? I don't know how you necessarily have training for that, but do you think that is hard for rookie coaches as well? Because all of a sudden, it's not just attack and defence.
If you're losing, it can become very difficult for people. And some people handle it well, and some people don't handle it well. And you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Anthony Seibold's coaching career is finished now, but Seibs will go away over the next 12 months and he'll have a good look at things that he did good, things that he did wrong, and things that he could have done different. And every time I leave a club, I look at some things I got right, some things I got wrong, and some things that I would have handled different. They weren't wrong or right. And that's the only way with coaching is experience. And that's why, you know, if a coach sits out for 2 years, you don't see them come back. They're finished. You know, the only way you get better at coaching is to keep coaching. And if you get some things wrong, sometimes I've seen some of the, you know, I think Bill Belichick got the sack from somewhere once.
Yeah.
He's the greatest coach in NFL history. You know, so it's not uncommon for a coach to get things wrong and then find an organisation which is a perfect fit for him.
Love it. Inside Coach's Corner. Brownie, thank you once again. Next, they'll play a bit of Believe It or Not right here. Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G, where comfort is king.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Typo scoreboard tells me 14-10, the Gold Coast over the St. George Illawarra Dragons yesterday evening. A man who scored a try for the Titans joins us right now, Tyrone Peachey. G'day, mate. Congratulations on a terrific win.
Thank you.
It's been a season really where the Titans were the best team in the, obviously, in Queensland, have competed beautifully and must be nice every time you get the 2 points.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of weeks leading into this. I'm well overdue. I've been training hard and it all worked on the weekend.
How'd you enjoy your time? You started in the middle yesterday, Peach. You enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. Had a good chat with the coach in the week and basically told me to pull my finger out and end up doing it. We won.
It's that simple. Mate, what have you made of your form this year? It's been a little bit patchy, and yesterday you were able to sort of get on there on the back of, you know, some key players being suspended and injured. What do you put your sort of little laps this year down to?
I'm not too sure. I spoke to him during the week, and it was probably a bit indecisive of, like, when I'm going on or what position I'm playing, or it all adds up, and I think he just gave me one main focus on the weekend and to go out there and start and lock and make the most of it. So I did have one goal, I suppose, and yeah, it ended up working.
What about someone like Jamal Fogarty? Didn't even make the cut at the start of the year, got that last-minute development contract, and now he's a captain. How amazing has it been to see his development?
Yeah, it's a great story. He had a crack back in a couple of years ago and it didn't end up working. And he's been playing Q Cup the last couple of years and he's been killing it up here. So they won the comp last year at Burley and he ended up getting a contract here. And I think he's signed to next year as well. So he's been great for the team. He brings a lot of energy. And, we've been building off that.
Hey, Peach, what's your favourite position?
I don't know. Halfback would be nice. But,
Where do you love to play? Like, where do you think you've played your best footy and you'd like to play?
I played my best footy probably at Penrith when I was at 5'8", when Jimmy was halfback. I didn't really have to do much. He controlled the team and I just popped up whenever I wanted to, really. So I played my best footy there and got picked for Origin in that position. So that's something. But we don't have Jimmy Maloney up here, so...
Exactly. Jamal Fogarty scores a winning try for you last evening. Last week, got chased down by Josh Papali. Did he cop any flack at all during the week from the team?
Yeah, it was a weird one. I've never seen Papali move so far. And Jamal's pretty quick, and we're all surprised. We didn't really know what happened, but we seen the video, and he was flying Papali. Mm. So everyone's been talking him up, and. It was good to see the big fella move that quick.
And what about you off contract at the end of this season? Is that right, or next season?
Next year.
Hey, Coach won't be telling you to pull your finger out next year, will he, Peach?
Talking about the coach, Peach, I mean, he just signed a new 3-year deal. You guys, I mean, the results haven't fallen your way all season, but you're a damn sight better team this year than you were last year. What is it about, Justin, that gets you guys going?
He's just brought that winning attitude, winning edge, I suppose. We played the last couple of years a bit indecisive on what we're doing with Jam and MD or attacking, and he's just given us one goal, and we've been working on it a lot over the off-season and during the COVID break. It was a massive thing we worked on, and we're trying to go in every week being a competitive team, and I think we've built that this year, and hopefully next year we've got some good signings coming up here, and we can be a top eight competing team.
Yeah, indeed. The names on the list look very impressive for next season. Your name, always impressive when it's on the list. Tyrone Peachey, thanks so much for having a chat and congratulations on the win last evening.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, Peach.
There he is. Tyrone Peachey, 14-10, the Titans over the Dragons. A little game of who does he play for next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Stella will join us in about 10 minutes, heading to Tamworth, obviously 3 o'clock for then. Now, Brandy, we play a little game where there's so many movements, as we know, among coaches, but also among players. So it's called...
Triple M NRLs. Who does he play for?
Yeah, it's quite tough, this game. We've played it over the number of years, and mainly M's very competitive.
Gerds is also
very competitive, but often
it's not
wrong.
It's not about who wins, it's about how much fun you have.
It's not junior sport, Em. We're all adults here. We can be a little bit competitive, Tony.
Tony, I asked your daughter how she went at hockey this morning, and I said, did you win? And Gerd said, you're not allowed to ask that question anymore.
It's an outdated question. It's did you have fun while they're that age?
Is that what it's about?
And then you ask, then you follow it up with, did you score a goal? It's not about scoring goals. It's about enjoying yourself.
She did score a goal.
My father.
Go home, Lena. I actually have been competitive. My older daughter now, she's 30. I when she was a young kid, I went to the netball court and I was cheering. And obviously I was cheering far too much. Mm. I wanted the win much more than she did. She stopped and froze and wouldn't move until I moved one netball court away.
Okay, you're that guy.
I'm that guy. Oh, don't do that if you're out
you're
there.
You're one of those psycho parents that actually got suspended and kicked out of a lot.
Not suspended, asked to, just...
By his own family.
Oh, his own family,
yes.
I don't think my dad came to watch me play netball. I only went to the footy.
Were you really poor?
No, yeah, Chris was just the golden child, so he'd only go to the footy.
When I first started playing first
grade. You've gotten over it, though.
Yeah.
When I first started playing first grade at St. George, and Mum was coming down to a game from the bush, and actually Mum moved down. I said, Mum, I said, none of this singing out like you used to. I said, we're on TV now. I said, don't you be singing out. She goes, oh, damn bloody say what I want. I said, all right, Mum.
Straight to the chairman's lounge.
I love it. All right, so, Brownie, for your sake, this is very simple. I'm going to read out some names of some players. You can tell us, each of you, it gets a turn, to tell us who they play for. Okay, they have played at least one NRL game for the clubs.
Oh, this isn't Believe It or Not.
No.
Believe It or Not?
No, I haven't. I'm saving that up for when
you're in your notes ready.
Well, there's Believe It or Not's here in front of me. It's on page two. Now, where have you jumped to?
Well, the first Believe It or Not is, do you believe that instead of Believe It or Not, we're going to play Who Does It Play For?
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
That is what's happening.
Okay. You won't get your nap. You'll have to stick around in the next ad break after the break.
I'll be having a nap.
Do we have any more of that theme music? I was really enjoying the theme music there.
Is he here yet?
Okay. All right. I'll start with you, Gerds. You can get it out of the way. Who
do I
these
believe
play
it?
For? No, no. You can tell me which clubs these people play for.
I don't know.
Andrew Davey.
I don't know.
Eels.
I believe it.
Dejon Assey.
I don't believe it.
Cowboys. Are you going to try? Kai O'Donnell.
Don't believe it.
Raiders.
Very good, even though it's not your turn. Paul Turner.
I don't believe it.
Warriors.
Correct. Christian Tuipulotu.
Christian, I believe it.
Roosters.
Okay, good. I'm giving you a big donut over there.
That
okay.
Stinks, that. Tony.
Okay, Emma.
Stick to the program.
Emma. Brody Jones.
Newcastle.
Correct. Darren Schoenig.
I know that one. Broncos?
You don't know that one, as it turns out. Storm.
Yeah.
Sam Stone.
Played yesterday.
That was Ray.
Knights.
Titans.
Titans, yeah. Played yesterday.
Hayes Perham.
Warriors.
Correct, Warriors. And Matt Frawley?
Oh, he's now at Raiders.
Correct. Okay, Brownie, you ready to go? Confident? Abbas Miski.
Abbas Miski.
Manly. Yes, correct. Chris Lewis.
Chris Lewis. Geez, you got me there.
Storm.
Warriors.
Asu Kapoa.
Asu Kapoa. Manly?
Tigers. Matt Dury.
Dogs.
Yes. And Freddie Lussick.
Last night, the Roosters.
The Roosters, congratulations. I think the game was the winner. We will do a bit of Believe
Gerds
or Not.
You did really well. Good job.
You did. Gerds, better go off and have a little lie down. He can come back for a Believe It or Not. Sterlo will join us at 2 o'clock. We'll catch up then. This is the Saturday Scramble. We are doing it for King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.